Welcome to all of you who have come here to worship with us this morning, especially to the guys from Teen Challenge. We are thankful that you could be here with us this morning, and we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say to us and sharing some songs and some spoken word and some testimonies with us. So God bless you as you minister to us this morning. Announcements. Donnie has an announcement he'd like to make. Excuse me. If there's anybody else who wants to make an announcement, please come up and do that now.
Good morning. So I'd like to ask Carly to put the photo up. And look at that beautiful Frisbee team, first of all, there. So, it was a good turnout yesterday, and it was a little bit more of a challenge this year, but we did pull off the win, and it was also fun to have time to play together as a group and play with the other teams as well. Just like to say thanks, guys, again, for making this happen. Couldn't happen without you guys, so thanks a lot.
Congratulations, guys. I think that's the second year in a row that you've won this tournament, so way to go, guys. Other announcements? There was an announcement that didn't make the bulletin from clubs. We're looking for volunteers again for this year. They're hoping to start in November sometime, but that'll be depend on some things coming together yet. And clubs is for grades 3 to 6. And it's on Wednesday nights. And if you would like to volunteer, contact Rochelle Lowen. So please do that. Some other announcements. Dave and Erica. Dave is scheduled to have hip surgery on October 2nd. He's been almost bedridden for quite a while now already. And initially they were saying that it could take up to a year before he could get this surgery, and then he had said, well, he couldn't keep living like this. So now they've scheduled it for October 2nd, so that's good to hear. Katrina got results back from her MRI, and they're gonna have to do some surgery on her as well, on her back. That'll probably be in September sometime. There isn't a specific date yet, but continue to remember them in your prayers. Emma Kaler is still recovering in the rehab at Boundary Trails. And Dad's had his last chemo treatment this week, so he's done with that. So praise God for that. Any other announcements? I think the rest of them you can probably take note of. For a call to worship this morning, I've got a couple of passages of scripture I'd like to read from. The first one is Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And then a very familiar passage from Psalm 46, the first four verses. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. It's comforting to know we have a God who looks out for us. When we come to Him, when we seek Him and want to have a relationship with Him, He will be there to support us no matter what situations we find ourselves in. This morning, Terry and other members of Teen Challenge will lead us in our worship. I'm expecting that we will hear stories of how God has delivered them from their struggles, the temptations that they faced, and the sins that they may have messed up their lives. Each of us experience difficulties in our lives. We may not get involved in the drug scene or commit a crime that gets us put in prison, but we all deal with personal issues that affect us in different ways. Depression, lack of self-esteem, health issues, financial problems, our job situations, struggles with different vices, and the list goes on and on. How we deal with them determines to a large extent how we live our lives. Are we happy? Are we content, or do we let our troubles overwhelm us and rule our lives? God is our refuge and strength. He is a stronghold in times of trouble. He will not leave us or forsake us. These are promises that God has made to each of us. He will be there to help us through whatever we are facing. He can comfort us. He can help us. He does accept us for who we are, faults and all. He will forgive us for whatever we have done. This morning we want to worship and celebrate God's goodness in the lives of those involved with Teen Challenge. Let's not forget what God has done for us as well. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your tremendous love for us. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your ever-present help in time of trouble. Thank you that we can put our trust in you and know that you will never leave us or forsake us. We pray a special blessing upon the people involved here this morning in the worship service, and we pray that it will be a blessing to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have the offertory now, and during that time, one of the guys is going to have a testimony.
In a similar background, probably. And I grew up in church. I grew up in a General Conference church as well. And things I was taught was from the Bible and all that. When I was 16, my father passed away. And with that, it was a crucial time for me, and I really got bitter, and I got bitter. I can't lie who I got bitter at. I got bitter at God, and church and family. I felt lost. I was very close to my father, and he passed away sudden. With that, I worked at Bible camps for a while. Going back and forth, just the struggles that I had. I knew what was right. I knew what path I should take, what I wanted to take. But my anger and my self-esteem just brought me to a different path. I started drinking at a fairly young age, or teenager age, and shortly after that, I started driving truck. When I drove truck, I kind of let my life totally just go. I thought I could do it all. I could do it on my own. I drove truck for 22 years. Approximately 10 years ago, my life kind of went upside down, and for real, really bad. My only sister passed away. I had gotten into some trouble. I had been taken away. Was serving time at that time. My sister had passed away. And I also was in a bad relationship where my daughter ended up getting, my only daughter ended up getting adopted out. With that, I felt lost. I always knew I was what I should do. I knew what I wanted to do, but I gave up. But God has always been there for me. I'm very grateful for a foundation that I've had from very, very young age, a foundation out of a belief of what I knew. And almost 11 months ago, I decided to come to Teen Challenge. I was also at a roadblock, and I was going to probably end up on the street. I'd never been there, right? I wasn't driving truck anymore. And I just didn't know what to do. I was lost again. So I came to Teen Challenge. I'm what they call the adult part. I'm a little bit older in age for some. And with that, there comes a lot of stubbornness and that. But God has really worked on me. Where God has really... Excuse me. Where God has really worked on me is two major things. I came into this program with three goals, and God is showing me that. My three goals that I came in, I didn't tell anybody this for months, and was I needed to find forgiveness. I needed to learn to forgive, and I needed to find forgiveness in myself. Second one I needed to find is my identity had been lost. I drove truck. I had been involved with motorcycle clubs to some degree, and I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do. It wasn't the miles that I did. It wasn't the loads I hauled. It wasn't the truck I drove. It wasn't, the things that I did that identified me, you know, and that's where and God is showing me probably more now in the last month and a half now ever where my identity stands through him, from him. And another one was what's God's plan for me. I still don't know what God's plan for me, but I know there's seeds planted already. I needed freedom. I needed to let things go, excuse me. We did a missions thing where we, a small group of choir, had to go to Rock Lake. And that was about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks. And that's where my sister's buried. I was never able to go to her funeral. I never gone to her grave site. And fortunately, the road that we went by was right past that grave, that cemetery. We called Pastor Terry. He said, let's call your mom and find out where the tombstone is. And for me, that was something that I allowed to a big stepping stone for me. And I can't explain it. I can't explain what God is. I'm emotional, but usually I'm not this emotional. Oh, God has freed me. I heard things in my heart that I didn't, that I pushed. I pushed down. I thought I was worthless. I thought I was nothing. I thought all that shame. And I heard God say, with my sister's voice in my heart, saying, I forgive you. I love you. And it's not your fault. Not all your fault. And I can't explain the release that is given. You know, the other thing God has really, really showed me is being on the road, I've always felt alone. And I don't have much immediate family. I have my mother, and I do have a relationship with my daughter that is adopted out, and she knows who I am. And I do see her as much as possible, and she knows exactly who I am. God has given me that. And God has shown me that there's a body that's bigger than just a family, just an immediate family. That there's a family out there that I can't explain. When I feel alone now, I think about people back home where I'm from, where I've lived, Lofarm and Morden and Winkler area. I wanted to leave Southern Manitoba. I was done at one point. And I regret that because of knowing that God has put people in my life that have never forgotten me. And it's, yes, they're part of it, but it's God that is showing me that. It's God that has given me that I matter, but he's also given me that I now have something to go forward with. He has a plan for me. I have a scripture here, two scriptures that, quick, I always take time. it's Romans 8:1. And it's this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. with that, I go to the same chapter, and this has been a big thing for me, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that there is nothing in life that can separate us, separate us from the love of God. For there is nothing convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in this creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.
That God still saves lives. Are you in agreement with that here this morning in Rosetown? Hallelujah. We're so grateful to be here this morning. So grateful. And I know that I have many, many old friends are in this building this morning, and we just give God the glory. We give God the glory, and we give Him all the praise this morning. We absolutely love singing this one song, and we kind of just started singing it recently, and the guys were like, I just love this song. And the funny thing is, it's an old song that I grew up with, but I just encourage you to sing this along with us. We're going to sing a few songs in worship this morning. You may know them, you may not, but I hope you know this one, and just sing along. I have a guitar, so I can't clap. That means that you have to help us with this, okay? All right? Because sometimes we're learning how to clap, too, and sing at the same time, right? I'm not throwing them under the bus. That's just the reality, right? But just sing this with us this morning. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my shadows that falls across my back, bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my fusion, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. If you know the words, let's sing that.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Verse 2, sing that.
Bigger than all the giants, fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Come on, let's sing that.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Can we give Him praise this morning? Hallelujah. You know, as Victor was sharing, I just thought of some verses in Isaiah, and I just want to read that this morning. You know, so many times, I know Eric talked exactly about this morning. You know, we have many times, we that grew up in this area, and I'm one of those 3 miles down the road, and you know, sometimes we think that, you know, there's certain things that define things like addictions and life-controlling issues, but you know what? We know that anything that takes a hold of our lives and replaces the place of Jesus in our lives is something that controls our lives, right? And, you know, and many times we could call those things idols, whether it's you know, our phones or media or our obsession for more possessions or money or pornography or whatever it is, whatever takes the place of Jesus in our lives is something that has a control in us and is an addiction. And in Isaiah chapter 44, this is really becoming the theme, some of the theme verses of our ministry in the season that we're in right now. It says this, it's really some really powerful words. It says, the poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that cannot help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? And then it says, and then the Lord speaks to Israel. He says this, he says, pay attention, O Jacob, for you are my servant, O Israel. I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. Maybe this is speaking to you this morning. And in verse 22, it says this, powerful words. It says, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. Can somebody say amen to that this morning? That is our theme. That is what beats inside of our hearts this morning. And we just want to sing a song right now. And you might know it, you might not. But just listen to these words, especially in the chorus. It just says, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday is gone. Just sing. I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. And I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Let's sing that, guys. Here we go. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains. But I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back.
I'll never be the same.
That's why we sing, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Can I just invite you to stand this morning? And can we just sing that chorus together with all of our hearts? We believe that Jesus is the source and that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things are become new.
Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood.
All my sins.
And all my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood.
Amen. Amen. I thought maybe the Lord was calling us. You may be seated. I've learned a long time ago when there's a distraction, you just go with it. Right? Amen. I love that song. I love those words. You know, I wanted to... A few of us are sharing testimonies this morning, and we kind of asked permission if we could do this. Gerhard, my friend here, he could share his testimony in English. It might be a little more difficult, but I asked if it was okay if he would share it in his native language, if that's okay with everyone this morning. Is that okay? you don't know what language that's going to be, but I'm sure that many of you will understand him, and I really have grown to appreciate that that we are a ministry for all people, and so please welcome Gerhard here this morning.
So, hey, check one, check two. Yeah, my name is Gerhard Wiebe. So Pastor Terry said I'm native, so I have a native language. So my native language would be Low German is the first language. So yeah, I grew up in Boston in Bolivia, Santa Cruz, Bolivia. And I got a Yale in 20 years. And I was like 20 years we like, well, actually 19 years we was like girlfriend funk. And we many say how was like we will be free with our name. So I and my girlfriend we have the constant God seen the hunt what I'm a God will hunt what we don't so that's what we don't want. So and we got seen plund of we uns befrieden and was we are in clean bit one year befried that's when we in Canada come. So like we 21 was we in Canada come. So like son 4 year here and was like was we here come couldn't English. Rennreichnisch, so I can't even word English, so then great club manch design was like what? The 40 the Basel Tien are 12 years here. Well we're in well as this why, right? So and what like Axana Mazon, Akshemi nicht im Reden, cracking down was it dot here and that. So I wanted to say Dol Manchin to Mofunk was like oh funk not English reden, they were in Dol Manchin stand around my eye and lachen sick the book video on, but that me dot in a sheet, so I think bis wir an ich weiß mit meine Fingers I can ein Klump sprechen as well so I war da vor ich holen wegen ja und vorher was well vorher wir uns befrieden ich wir so deep involved in crystal meth and drugs and alcohol in Bolivien but ich wusste nicht wirklich what ich tun soll und basically, so I see up to Boston in Zindach Christianheim. So, yeah, that we're in basically plus Zindach Christians and the vehicle there we're in the plus you only mention. So, and I see up to Boston as a flay kid. Like we fire you, as I quite high you know, be no under Aldrin. So, that's a 6 year up to Boston and I see so you abuse word as I up Boston there. And, mit der Tiet, ich könnte bloß Salz nicht mehr handeln, dann ich wüsste ich mal, was zu tun mit mir Salz, dort ist wirklich mal so reich. Auch fängt mit Trinken. Und Trinken wie nicht mehr genug, so ich fange something else zu, so ich fange geht alles zu bedanken mit Crystal Meth und dort schon für den Stout. Aber ich dachte, ich stelle ich want wie, dann fange ich auch mit Crack und Cocaine und all das Arten, so. Dort ist ich wirklich so deep involved wird. Und dann klingt mir da, wie in Kanada kommen, ich denke, two times the Centro Guia de Pastors in Bolivien. Ich weiß nicht, was you guys from dort gehört haben, das ist ein Rehab. But ich denke, dort zweimal da ist. Zum ersten Mal denke dort da ist, dann wieder, als ich durch 5 Monate bieten wir, dann für 5 Monate ich bleib free von all meinen Addictions. Und dann kam war da ab, dort ich kann mich selbst nicht mehr verstehen, kann mich selbst nicht mehr vertrieren, so ich fange frisch an mit der Zellie Drugs und Alkohol und all that stuff. So, bis ich war viel deeper involved already. So, ich dachte viel mehr Brücken at the time. Und dann, mein Pflegedad hat ja forced me the second time into the rehab there. Und ich will zum zweiten Mal, ich will nicht nennen, ich sehe, zum zweiten Mal, die würden mir den Anbringen, es wäre ein Dauter Leben. So, but we got some plunder that I still do not come and I came to Nan so and then as we dot was like that the gear the past there we to twerd it more than foots no dot any work looter we milk on the appearing right the twashing in teeth what I did the twerd it more the band we and gear the past we milk on the appearing right and on the foots in the work looter what I could gear the past we came in Canada so. Und dann, wir waren hier für 11 Monate hier in Kanada und ich schaue für White Agri Service, I'm not sure, probably some of you guys probably know them. Wir waren dort in Schweinstallings waschen, So and do we're in the poor or better they don't know drugs broken and stuff like that. So I'm from the Arbeiter, they introduced me to drugs, like to crystal meth here in Canada, and I think what are drugs to broken here. And so I was always heavy involved, so I did all these art in broken, like crack cocaine, crystal meth, and pot, and coke. And I was very, very heavy. I used 12 to 13 points a day, crystal meth, so I did just want to end myself off with everything. And came a day, I got arrested in December, in November, I got arrested by the police. And then, but I got released at the same day. And then the same month, I got arrested again. And on the 20 months, I got arrested for the exhibits to me results. Actually, Derek met me live. I got me results happening. So, and when I now dive involved us in crystal meth for an old kind of addiction struggles, what I was also seeking to avoid to bewear their stuff. So, then the mansion thought they weren't usually a massa or something on the con, so that they take very can from under mansion. So, I could am a toy but three massa show me, and that me very can when somebody would not me come and something wrong to me down. So, and on Zoo turns it to me. George, you were stiffing down. I call hand is also dealt me. No, I will not. I guess he worked down zel. So I zoot and trich me bar an ark. That I bar an ark we that I not more wiss wo hand checking or wo hand run. And well, I said okay. What am I camp up? That's what I go down. So and I know massa what I caught on me. I smite that eat and on I caught it. I mean a right to hand. I know that I smite and I did, I mean brass. I must have said what next you are for me in brass, mean haunt with force. I can mean the haunt nicht move, nicht back and forth, nicht up and down, nish. I can force us and stein the haunt. But the link haunt we gone slow. Can there's all mansion for kill like will. But again, like I prove my mean a link haunt that master nanti kill and the trough listen. I can not more master loose little nish. So and I'm taking the hash and I quiz him what to down. Actually, he's a god, it's a god. What's happened? Man, I can't hack it, and I saw an angel. The angel kicked me crack me in the zach. I said, like, whoa, what? So, what's I need now? And so, I actually hit the God, and I said, God, when you me wash no heine chance given, I will from me and for Alma, I will the new fall you. And man, I thought the zach heard, God mute me in the hand up, and the master travel up to the floor. And then Yankee greet, and God said, park all dine Sachen, what am I dine Sachen sein, park da up and go away from the teeth with the bass. So now that's what I did. I park me in the Sachen up, yank away from the teeth, and I brought me in the from the mansion where we in the truck for and down. So and I früh has I me helping can and I said yeah I see here for help. I will help hand. What am I meet a cost in that? I will help him. Even if the cost mean going to live. But I somebody in punk that I can't my results eat me results and I call me live and train a god given, I call me a family train. So I got foots in Zalian dog like what I mean friend gang na hope. That's when the police came. The police, they wissen, I quit nicht, where the police did you wissen, but they wissen crack where we are. And they came and picked me up from there. And then, Mr. 420 Stimby police officer, believe. And on the next day, the ganze nachher, I couldn't schlupen. So I früh plus, I can't mess the ganze nachher, plus, on my knees, you lay in your bed. And I früh, God, what was your hand? What's all like down? What kind of choice all like me out? So and I früh got as how me will a Christian police officer yeah, what would handling and dealing with me. So and you never know next and smart TD smart camp police officer camp me who brought me into the office and then I früh me all the seat and I said I be a Christian so I said I will me nicht to court tracking or something, but I said when I would choose to go to Adulting Challenge, and when I was graduating Adulting Challenge I was gonna come to the graduation. And I want me a haunch shaking, I want me a haunch giving, and probably give us a hug each other. And mean, the charges are probably going to be dropped. Probably I'm going to be in some warrants or something. I'm not sure yet, but that's up to God. I include all this up God from the ocean dog, and I can directly say in since in dog what I don't think challenge you come. I things off weren't at all falling on that then what I could see he was, and God helped me completely end up me living. And I can't kind of control up results anymore, nicht mehr, so I can't all this God ever give. And God has me later. And I come this sein, I see, I verstand that Rheumatien, Frustratien, sag, wie haben wir den Herrn, was in sie nun andere und was soll ich werden? And also in 2 Corinthians 5:17, like, that sag ich, that Leben, was hängt an mir, ist hängt an mir, und das nie Leben, ist an mir nahe kommt. And so, und das nie Leben, was ist an mir bern nie, das ist Jesus Christus, und ich sehe wirklich sehr mutig, für was ich habe zu tun. So, I go over switching to English and clean bit, so.
I think everyone. Yeah. Did you understand that?
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, that's basically it. So, whoever did accept Christ in their lives yet today, I would really just say, you know what, today is the chance, because we don't know if we are going to be alive after the church service is done. So, I would really encourage you guys seek the Bible out more, seek God's word out, and, you know, the Bible is really alive, and, God is really teaching me a lot through the Bible. So, yeah, you guys have a blessed day.
Over the last 30 years, I've seen the temperature of the drug scene really go numb. I mean, there are people that are dying every single day across this nation, and addiction rates, hopelessness, despair, families being split apart, kids growing up without dads, without moms, without love and support. That's what we're seeing, and that's what we're dealing with at unprecedented levels. And it's breaking our heart. I mean, it's just like, you feel some days that you're just overwhelmed with the demand. And the saddest part is that 90% of the people that are living with addictions on a daily and regular basis will never get any sort of help. They deal with it on their own.
Adult and Teen Challenge is a ministry that really reaches a part of the community that isn't always being reached. Anyone with a life-controlling addiction can come to our ministry and get help. And we have found over and over that more and more women are reaching out for that help, which is just an amazing thing. You know, women come to us so broken and in such a place of hopelessness. And our heart of our ministry is to share the love of Christ with them and to help them see that there is hope. That hope is out there and their life can be different.
Probably the thing that burns the most inside of me is to see men and women that completely had lost every hope of who they were, every understanding of why they were created, and to see them come into a potential and to see them come into a place where they understand that they are so loved, that they are so sought after and pursued by their maker. And then they meet Jesus and everything changes.
When I came in the Teen Challenge, I was addicted to multiple drugs, really. Cocaine by far was the worst. It was not good. I had depression, anxiety, you name it. I was just a wreck. I was a mess. I needed something. I needed something different, something more than just, you know, staying sober for a little bit, being protected, and then kind of thrown back out there.
When I was in my drug addiction and just living in all that shame and guilt, I never thought I had any worth. And I thought that I was going to live the rest of my life just in darkness and in bondage, and just really had no vision for my future. In Teen Challenge, I found purpose to help other people, and God totally changed my life.
You know, this time of year for me, I always get a little emotional. Definitely the main reason would have to be because it's the first day that I came into Teen Challenge, and it means even more for me because it's a 10-year milestone for me where God changed my life. I walked into Teen Challenge 10 years ago with a garbage bag of clothes over my shoulder. That probably wasn't even mine. And it just blows me away. It's giving me shivers now just thinking of where he took me from. I slept in a shed the night before coming into Teen Challenge beside somebody's lawnmower. And now I can say, hey, I own my own house, you know? Like I said, to some people that's supposed to be normal, but it's amazing for me, it really is.
Today, I get to work for the ministry that changed my life, and I get to work with women that are in the same place that I used to be and just tell them that there is freedom and that there is a way out, and Jesus is the way, and he's given me a whole new life. Today, I'm married to a godly man, and we're expecting our first child, and I never ever thought that it was possible to have this much real good life, and I'm in awe.
I have never felt this satisfied and this fulfilled in my entire life. I've had a lot of things, a nice car, you name it, stereos and all the things that the world has to offer, but I have never felt this good in my entire life, a joy that you can't describe.
I'm just glad I'm part of it. I'm just glad I've been able to somehow be a part of this thing and to see people find hope, people find freedom, families get together, little kids get their dad back, get their mom back. Husbands and wives be restored, you know, families be restored, be part of a church, be part of a community. I think that's the reason why. And if God's called you to do it, what else can you do? What else can you do that's more valuable, more important? You got to be in the place where God's called you. So that's the heart, that's the burden, that's the passion that we've got in this ministry.
You know, like I said before, we're just so honored to be here this morning. We're so honored that you would trust us with a Sunday morning gathering, and I know that we don't take that for granted. And I guess my prayer as the leader of the team this morning is that you are encouraged. My prayer is that you are that you leave here with a measure of joy for a situation that you might be going through right now. Like I said, I'm a Shine Vase boy. You know, I grew up just down the road here, and I understand the thought process sometimes that, you know, what in the world kind of problems do we have out here, you know? And how could any of these things touch our lives? But you know, I've grown to realize that everyone knows somebody. Would I be right if I said that? You know, we all know somebody that is struggling through something, and this morning, our goal and our hope is that you can leave with hope, that you can leave with the hope of Jesus in that situation. You know, maybe you are somebody that is going through something right now, and you're struggling through something that is controlling your life, some sort of addiction, and you don't know if there's any way to get out of it. And I can, just like Tara said on the video, she said, there is a way, and Jesus is the way. And that's the core prayer for us here this morning. And we're here to remind you that this ministry is very much in George said something, Gerhard said something very interesting in his testimony. He's talking about how he thought, well, that was the place that had the answer. And the truth is, we are not the answer, but we have the answer. And it's the same answer that you have inside of your heart. In fact, the scripture says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul writes. And so Christ being in you is the hope of glory. That's the hope for our country. That's the hope for our world. And so if you're going through something, if you're needing something, we'd love to talk with you and to minister with you and to you and pray with you. I just thought... Actually, just for the sake of it, I'm going to get each guy shortly just to introduce themselves on the team. But one of the guys was coming up here this morning. Bryson is on the team for the first time this morning, and you're doing a great job, Bryson. And he said, you know what Bryson said? He said, He said, I just know that there's someone that I need to pray with in this church this morning. I don't think he knows anybody here. And so that's the kind of heartbeat that we have coming in here this morning. We just want to serve. We just want you to know that there's still lives being changed, that Jesus still transforms lives 2,000 years after he was physically on this earth, because I believe that he is here in all of our hearts, and we are his hands and feet. Amen? Amen. You probably got a brochure. We're not here to talk about money. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you do want to support us, there's means to do that. Come and talk to me afterwards. There's lots of ways to do that. I will tell you that there's two things that I'm pretty excited about. You saw the Women's Center, and sometimes we, from all the way up Brandon, we don't often have the women's team come out in this area, but this fall they are going to be part of an event that we're doing at Winkler Bible Camp, but they... Their presence and their heart is represented here this morning, because we brought some items that they have made with their hands just as a means of expressing their testimony through making jewelry. And so if you want to see some of that, it's just on our table in the back. It's handmade, and you can see the name of the person that made it, and it's a way for you to be able to pray for that person, whoever made it. Come and see that. That's a way for us to support the women's ministry. And the other thing is it seems kind of... irreverent for me to talk about a demolition derby in church, but I have to tell you, we're really excited. In 1 month, on September 15th, we're having our demolition derby annually, which is going to be in Morris at the Stampede Grounds. If you want to come, it's just such a fun event. And just for fun this year, we were kind of getting bored with cars every year. We've been doing this for many years, so it's all vans this year. So... I thought that might get someone's attention, but we do have a special for tickets. You have tickets with today? Come see Victor afterwards. If you buy one adult ticket, you get one free, and all the kids are free anyway. So really, if it's a family of four, you pay one ticket and you all can go. That's a good deal, right? And I like good deals. But come and see us. We want to fellowship with you afterwards. If there's something we can minister to you into your situation. We're going to get into the word here shortly, but we just want to sing another song that means a lot to us. You know, Victor was sharing, and Victor, you did such a great job of expressing some of the pain that your life has been through. And it's not easy, you know, coming in front of a bunch of strangers and kind of pouring out your history, you know. I don't know if any of us have to do that regular, but it's not easy. But, you know, I thought of something when you were sharing before, that even in that painful journey that you've been on, God has been faithful your whole life. All your life, he's been faithful. And he's just been waiting for that moment when you came to a realization that you needed him more than any other thing that you needed. And it was a powerful moment a few weeks ago, and I could be there with you, and we could pray and understand that your sister forgave you, but more importantly, God has forgiven you, and you can look forward, because how many know that the only thing that keeps us from moving into the future is our past and focusing on our past? Anybody agree with that this morning? Just sing this with us this morning. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. Let's sing that.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Close like no other. Known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, this morning we just want to thank you. We want to thank you that you've been so good to us. That even in all of our lives, when those moments when we felt like there was nobody walking with us, God, just like that old poem says, we realized that there was one set of footprints and it was you that was carrying us. And Father, this morning I just pray that you would touch somebody's life this morning that needs to know the goodness of God this morning. That even when we can't feel it, even when we can't go on our feelings, we know that you are there and that you are working and that you are present in every step of the way. I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Now, before the guys sit down this morning, those that haven't introduced, just introduce yourself. Tell everyone where you're from and maybe how far along and where you are at the program.
That would be you.
Yeah, so my name's Chris, and I'm from BC, and I'm 3 months along in a six-month refresher.
I'm Bryce. I was born and raised in Steinbach. I had a life-controlling addiction to crack cocaine for almost about 5 years. Just briefly, within the last year, I had a brother who passed away from brain cancer last year, and that just shattered my life, and I went to about 5 funerals within 6 months after that, and I didn't care about my life or anybody else. I got manipulated by a Russian gang, and I was just a hopeless and absolute mess. I wasn't a Christian before coming to the program. And I had a heart attack a week before coming in, and that was kind of my eye-opener and my reality check that, hey, you got to turn your life around and now. And now I'm 9.5 months clean. I've gained 65 pounds and got baptized 3 months ago along with a couple other guys, and God has just completely changed my life around. I've brought my backpack of sin and burden over to the cross and said, I can't do this without you, God. There's no other way. And now I want to, not only do I want to share with others what God is doing in my life, but I want to ignite a fire and a hope in somebody else's heart too. So awesome. Praise awesome. God.
We welcome them here this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad I came to church this morning. It's always worth the trip, right? You think that's just in Steinbach, but it's always worth the trip coming to church, right? And even people that are from Yonsei, they can get accepted right here in Rosetown, right? You know, it's a real privilege to be here this morning. And I told the guys, I said this will be the very closest that we ever get to where I grew up. And so this is home for me. And I'm very excited to be here this morning. And just one more note, Dave. He wasn't here right now when we were introducing ourselves, but the guy that just waved the banner there, David is our graduate of ours, and he's leading and so forth, and he's here to serve the team this morning. I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 3 this morning, and I want to ask you the question, what's in your hand? And that's the title of the sermon this morning, and I had something that was really on my heart this morning, and I was speaking with Pastor Rudy, and it really seemed to fit into a series that you're going through this summer, Encounters with Jesus. And I want to talk about an encounter that Moses had with God, but they are one, right? The three in one. And I'm so excited about this subject this morning. And I want to ask you the question this morning, what's in your hand? So we just have that title slide. Me and Harley, we made an agreement this morning that I'm just going to say slide, and then he'll go to the next one. So, oh, we got the verses? Perfect. Good. All right. So here we go. I'm reading in New Living Testament, New Living Translation, but just follow along in Exodus 3:1-11. This is what it says. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. My version says, Moses said, this is amazing. I guess so, right? This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why is this bush not burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. When the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile land and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have now I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11 said this, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So Moses has this incredible encounter with God, and he says, who am I? And this morning, I just want you to think to yourself and ask yourself this, have you ever been approached by the voice of God? And I'm sure that all of us have heard the voice of God in some way or other. You may not have heard it in an audible way. You may not have heard it, in some miraculous way. But every one of us has heard the voice of God. You know, we have a saying in our center that God speaks through different ways, right? He speaks through circumstances sometimes. Sometimes he speaks from other godly people who speak into our lives. Sometimes, of course, he speaks through his word, which is very, very foundational. And this morning, and sometimes he just simply speaks directly to our heart, and we know that it's him. But this morning, God, Moses has this incredible encounter with God through a burning bush of all things. But it's not finished, and Moses has some questions, right? And he obviously has never been in a situation like this. And so he asks some very obvious questions. He says, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people? What should I tell them? And he starts going through all of this. It kind of sounds like me when somebody asks me to do something, right? We have a lot of questions. I'm a sanguine. I don't know if you understand different types of personalities. And I talk a lot and don't listen a lot. And sometimes I ask repeatedly what somebody has just told me. Maybe there's nobody like that here, but that's how I grew up. And that's why at Border Valley School, I often was in the principal's office because of that. Because I asked questions when I should have been listening, right? Amen? Anybody understand? Phew. All right, it's just not just me. It's kind of like when God asked me something, because we have a lot of questions sometimes. But this morning, I want you to put yourself into the, the thought process of Moses this morning. Because sometimes when we look at Bible stories, and I love speaking from Bible stories. I don't know why. I'm always just drawn to Bible stories, and there's a message in every Bible story. And this one just really has spoken to me recently. And sometimes I've learned that it's not fair when we look at the story because we know the ending. You know what I mean? We know what happened, right? We know that 40 long years later, you know, it took a long time for Israel to reach this promise. A lot of that had to do with their own wandering, right? They could have made there a lot sooner, but they were disobedient and they wandered and all that. But sometimes we get really tough on Moses here because we say, you know, he was the one that should have known right away that it was God and stuff. But really, if it would have been me, and I don't know the ending of the story, it's not really fair sometimes to be so harsh on Moses. And so let's just look at it from his shoes this morning, as they say. He's a normal guy asking some normal questions, right? In verse 13, we're continuing the story. It says, "But Moses protested, 'If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what's his name? Then what should I tell them?' God replied to Moses, 'Say, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" And it's important, just a little side note. God wasn't saying, "I was, I will be, I'm supposed to be." He says, "I am." You know, that's important for us to know that God is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. The God that said, "I am," about 6,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago, he's the God that says, "I am" today. He's the same God that's coming in front of us here this morning. And God replied to Moses, he said, "I am who I am." And then he says, "Say this to the people." I'm in verse 15. "The God, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations." And God just puts his stamp on the message that he was going to give Moses, right? He puts his stamp on the big thing that he has just asked Moses to do. And he gives Moses the authority, if you will, to do what he's about to do. I don't know if you've ever been sent by somebody, somebody higher up, whatever that means in your world, and you get sent to somebody else, and they're like, "Who are you?" You know? Anybody ever has that happen? You know, we're like, "Who are you?" And then you're like, "Oh, no, it's not from me. It's from the boss." You know, has that ever happened to you? And then all of a sudden, everything changes, right? You've got the stamp, or you've got the letter, or you've got the text. You know, you're like, no, look, this is what he sent me. And then you show them. And then all of a sudden, the authority changes, right? That's what God was doing right here. He was saying, "There is the authority that I'm giving you to do this, and I'm going to put my stamp on you." And so in Exodus 4, we're going to go through this story a bit here this morning. A lot of scripture. That's what we believe in at Adult and Teen Challenge. A lot of scripture. Exodus 4, starting at the beginning, it says, "But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you?" Then the Lord asked him this. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. The Lord asked him this question. "What is in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. "Throw it down on the ground," the Lord told him. So Moses threw the staff and it turned into a snake. And Moses jumped back, because it was a snake. And then the Lord told him, "Reach out and grab its tail." And so Moses, probably nervously, reached out and he grabbed it and it turned back into a shepherd's staff. "Perform this sign," the Lord told him. "Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has really appeared to you." This morning, I want to ask you the same thing that the Lord asked Moses. Slide, "What is in your hand?" Because these are the scriptures that we were just going through. But some of you know that there's something that God is asking of you this morning. And maybe he's asked you this a while back. Maybe it's a few years back. And there's a calling that he's put on your life. But sometimes we ask the same questions. Who am I? Right? We say, "What kind of qualifications do I have? How could I do this? How in the world am I supposed to be able to go in front of a bunch of people?" I still remember when I first met Victor, those are some of the questions you asked, right? Like, you're going to go on this team that sings in front of churches. I don't even, you know, and you thought you didn't even know how to sing, and you sing very well. But you were given an opportunity, and you asked those same questions. And then it was like God was saying that to you. What do you have that you can give? Well, you have a powerful story. You have a powerful testimony of what God is doing in your life. And that's your biggest weapon. That's the biggest weapon that you have, is your testimony. And you can go in front of people and use that. But Moses was asking all these questions. And I want to tell you a few things this morning, a few points that because I have a feeling like us, you are all just a bunch of very ordinary people. Not that we are not extraordinary because God made us, but we're just people. We're human beings. And I want to ask, and I want to tell you a few things that I have learned from this story. And I hope that it's going to speak to you this morning, because it's really spoken to us, these principles. The first thing I want to tell you is a slide. God specializes in doing exceptional out of ordinary. Now, let me explain that this morning. I want you to think about what God was asking Moses and what was in Moses' hand. His shepherd's staff, right? And it's not a big deal. It was just a piece of wood. It was just a branch, whatever it was. But I was reading about the importance of a staff to a shepherd. And here's a couple things that I learned, especially back in those times when shepherding was a very important and very primal and very fundamental type of a job. In those times, a shepherd's staff was the representation of their life. It was a representation of what they did. Aside from being a key tool in the rescuing of lost sheep, right? Or it was a key tool in the killing of predators or standing off predators like snakes or other animals. It represented what they did, and it represented who they were, right? Many times a shepherd would keep their staff for their whole life, and it would carry the scars and the markings of all of their work. And it was almost like a lot of them would keep it for their entire lifespan as long as it held up. And it was a representation. But it was just a piece of wood, right? There was nothing special about a piece of wood except that God changed it into a powerful tool. It wasn't anything that Moses did to throw it on the ground. It had nothing to do with the power of Moses. That's why so many people, when they come to us and they say, boy, your program is really the answer. And we're like, no, it's not. Our program has the answer. And we point people to Jesus. He is the power. We are like the shepherd's staff, and he is the power that's at work through us. But it was just a piece of wood. But you know what? You know what that shepherd's staff, if you would read through the whole chronology of the ministry of Moses and his leadership, it showed God's power to Pharaoh, right? And his officials. It was involved in a lot of the plagues of Egypt, right? The staff. It gave Israel victory when he raised it in the air to fight the Amalekites. He even misused it, right? When he disobeyed God, he even misused it, right? But it was the representation of Moses' ministry, and it was an ordinary thing that God used to do something exceptional. Can I tell you this morning that if you feel as though you are ordinary, you are in perfect prime, you are the perfect ingredient for God to do something exceptional through you, because all he needs is a willing heart, whatever it is, whatever he's calling you to do. Think about some of the other things that God used as very normal things and normal elements. He used a normal sling made of leather and a few stones to defeat an entire army, essentially, when David killed Goliath, right? When David knocked Goliath down. He used the willingness of a young boy to give up his lunch, fish and bread, but he used it to perform a miraculous thing. But he needed someone willing, right? Normal things. He used saliva and mud, but it was from Jesus, the power of Jesus, to heal a blind man. Normal elements. You know what, everyone this morning, brothers and sisters, we are normal elements. But when we are in the hands of Almighty, we can do exceptional things because God is at work through us. Does somebody agree with me here this morning? Right? That is what is the heartbeat and the lifeblood of this ministry called Adult and Teen Challenge. That's why you'll see me up here year after year, because this is inside of me, what we're doing here. And I'm just so honored to be able to be a part of it. Let me ask you this morning, what's in your hand? What is the gifting, or what is the special thing that God has impassioned you with? Maybe I saw we just happened to sneak a peek in here when we were here early this morning, and we saw some amazing people leading kids in ministry. They're using what's in their hand, right? You know, they're using what God has used. And then I walked through the basement and all these different people leading Bible classes and so forth. You're using what is in your hand. Maybe there's something that nobody sees here every week, but you're using it out in the world and out in the marketplace. What's in your hand? but you don't understand, Pastor. You might say, I don't have a good voice. I don't have, you know, I don't know how to play the guitar. I don't know how to speak in front of people. That's what Moses said, right? God says, what's in your hand? The second thing I want to tell you this morning is while you question your qualifications, God is qualifying you. That's so important. That's so important. Did you notice that no sooner had the questions come out of Moses' mouth than God was already showing him how he would be equipped? This didn't surprise God as though he needed to regroup or rethink the strategy or anything like that. God was not surprised. Do you know that nothing ever occurs to God? Maybe I need to ask that again. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? God doesn't need a reminder icon. He doesn't need a, you know, an email reminder about something that's about to happen. He doesn't make the sun rise in the morning and then say, oh, I forgot about, you know. And no, nothing occurs to God because he is always in the business of qualifying people that are willing. Moses' journey was very unique. Remember, he was born. Remember how Moses was born, and he was born as an Israelite, but he lived in Pharaoh's house, and he grew up in Pharaoh's house. But then he killed the Egyptian. Remember, and then he fled. And what a story, right? I mean, I don't know if I would want him to lead a couple of million people out of slavery. I don't know if he would be exactly qualified to do that. He was a murderer, right? But God used him. But God used him. Thanks be to God. 40 years later, he's living out his days as a shepherd out in the fields, and he thought, surely this is time to collect pension, right? He thought, this was it. You know, this is my winding down days, as they say. God didn't call you to something unless he was completely prepared to qualify you with the right gifts and the right tools to be able to do what you're supposed to do. Moses had it right in his hand. So you're asking God to reach, you're looking for ways and you feel God telling you to reach your workplace for Jesus. Well, what's in your hand? Use what's in your hand, whatever it is. Some people are finding all sorts of creative ways to tell their neighbors about Jesus. What's in your hand? Because I don't know if you know this, folks, but we live in a lost and broken world. We live in a world that is going to hell, and we need to do something about that. We have a saying, we need to plunder those gates so that we can populate heaven. Those gates where people are walking through and they don't even know it. They don't even know that they're lost. Somebody once said, somebody had on their bumper sticker, Jesus is the answer, and somebody scribbled under on their car, they said, what's the question? Right? It's a good response, because the truth is, he is the answer. But we need to remind people that he's the answer to their questions, the questions that they have in their life. I am who I am is sending you. Number three, his math is much different than ours. Very quickly, you know the story about Gideon, right? We know the story about Gideon, and he was facing the Midianites or the Mennonites. I don't know exactly which one it was. Well, actually, it wouldn't have been the Midianites because they had an army. The Mennonites, they don't fight, right? So it was the Midianites. But remember that story about how Gideon, he was leading a group of about 32,000 people. Remember that story? And then God asked him to trim the roster. And then 22,000 people left, and he was left with about 10,000. And then he gave them another test. And how many people were left in Gideon's army? Do you know? Anybody? 300 people. And you know how big the army of the Midianites were estimated to be? 135,000 people. That's not good math, right? But you know what? God's math is different than ours. But here's the thing. Like with Moses, imagine if you didn't know the end of the story and you had to have the faith of Gideon to say, we're just going to be faithful. We're going to do what God has given us to do. And the story goes like this. We can't really go through it, but it's in Judges 7. Make sure you read it again if you need to be reminded about this. Judges 7, verse 7, the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. And he sends all the others home, and with these three, just before they went to attack, you can read this for yourself, it's in the scripture, Gideon says to his men, he says, what's in your hands, men? That's what he says, essentially. He says, what's in your hands? And they had the torch, right? What else did they have? The trumpets, right? Right? Am I wrong? Maybe I am. I better check. Nobody's agreeing with me here this morning. What's in your hands? A horn and a torch, right? Can you picture Gideon giving them the little pep talk before they go out that night? And he says, guys, let me ask you something. What's in your hands? Let's use that to defeat a big, massive army. And we know what happens. But you know what? So many times, the math of our situation doesn't add up to what we think is the solution. And then we ask God, we say, this doesn't add up. And I just want to tell you this morning that so many times, things don't make sense. But when God is in it, there's no limit. He has unlimited resources in defeating whatever you are going through right now. Matthew 25 also has an interesting version of math. When the master leaves these talents with his workers. Remember that story? And what happens with them? Every one of them does something with it, right? And then they double it, or they invest it, or they make something happen with those talents that happened. Except for one. What does the one do? He thought he didn't have much. What did he do? He buried it, and he put it into the ground. Let me ask you something this morning. With what God has put in your hand, are you burying it, or are you multiplying it? The things that he has given us, whether it's a resource that you know that you can use for his glory, whether it's some finances that you know that you could invest into something, into a ministry that God is, whatever it is, what are you doing for his glory? Are we burying it, or are we multiplying it? You know, I want to close with a story here this morning. Do I have the time for a short story? Yes, do we stop at 12 or at 1? 12:30? Okay, no, just one story. And this leads to the last point that I have here this morning, that it all comes down to willingness. And just a slide there. It all comes down to willingness. And I just want to tell you a little story this morning, and it's a true story. The kingdom of God and all the things that he wants to accomplish through you on this earth, we are his hands and feet. It comes down to the willingness of his people. Would you agree with that? In the early 90s, there was a really young family that was living in London, Ontario. The father was a salesperson for a company called Unilever Canada, and they're still around. I saw an ad the other day. But there was an empty feeling to his job, and he suddenly felt the call of God to do something much bigger. The problem was that very few people, and I mean very few people, they really believed in what he was being called to do. And here's what he was being called to do. And it was the craziest thing. He was being called to start up a residential program where people living in drugs and alcohol and other addictions would come and live, and they would be discipled for a whole year. Isn't that crazy? Doesn't that sound kind of loony? You know, that there's so many people that said to him, this is not going to happen. This can't happen. And you know, as they were going through this, as they moved from Ontario to Manitoba to a little community called Haddishville, if you've ever been down the number one highway in eastern Manitoba, as they were living there with their young family in this bug-infested little house trailer, and they were feeling so discouraged, God kept saying to them, what's in your hand? Use what's in your hand. Use what's in your hand. And what happened was, they did that, and slowly there was more and more testimonies that came out. We're going to go back to this slide. Just let me show you another slide. This is just a couple of pictures of some of those early days. And eventually, they got this worn-down, old, bug-infested trailer for their family. But through those sleepless nights, and I've heard some amazing stories of discouragement and wanting to give up. And I've been able to walk with Steve and Margaret Paulson for the last 8 years, and they've told me so many amazing things about how God showed his provision over and over again. But what he was really asking them was, I'll provide, you be willing. You be available. I believe God is saying that to you this morning. I will provide, you be willing, and you do what I'm asking you to do. That's the ultimate encounter with Jesus. That goes right with our theme here this morning. 25 years later, I go back to the other slide. I have to show you this because this was taken some time ago. 25 years later, this calling has turned into 6 residential centers. a community resource office, 3 retail stores. I don't know if you've ever been to the Winkler Thrift Store. If you need to go there sometime just for the experience of the testimonies, and you go there for a T-shirt and you leave with an experience because it's such a great there's testimonies and there's pictures and there's just worship music playing and it's all just a testimony of why God wanted to do something through Steve and Margaret years ago, but it was just God asking Steve years ago, probably about 30 years ago, what's in your hand? And I'm going to use that for my glory. What's in your hand? And you know, this morning, as we close here this morning, I just invite you to close your eyes for a moment here this morning. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand or to do anything embarrassing, but I am feeling led to encourage and to challenge you this morning. Because for some of you, there's a few different kinds of people that may have come here this morning. I know many of you as old friends, but the truth is I don't know your current situation. And so for many of you, you might fall into the category of you know that the Lord is leading you to something, but you don't feel qualified and you don't feel like you have the resources, whatever that is needed, whether it's human resources or financial resources or support of some kind. I just want to challenge you this morning, because if you feel that God is calling you to something, then answer the question that God is asking you, what is in your hand? Because he is saying, I will do something with this greater than you could have imagined. To him who's able to do immeasurably more, that's not just words in a scripture. I have seen that. I have lived through that. And I get to be a witness to that every single day when I go and work with these amazing young and not so young men. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you are here this morning and you are seeing in the men that are up here your son and your daughter or a friend or a loved one that is going through the most difficult time of their life. It might be addictions. It might not be. It might be something relationship-based. I just want to remind you this morning that there is hope. I want to remind you that there is rest for the weary. If you rest your situation in his hands, he can do so much more with it than we ever could. And I just want to remind you of that this morning. And lastly, and I just want to say to you that there's different ways that we can support you. There's some ministries that I want to tell you about if you do come and talk with one of us. Some ways that we can support family members that have loved ones in addiction. Not the loved ones, but the family members, because we already have some great programs for people that are struggling, but often the families are affected. And I just want to tell you there's programs that we have locally. But you know, lastly, I don't want to leave here this morning without the invitation to have Jesus as part of your life, personal life. And so this morning, if you need Jesus and you need him to come into your life and you've never invited him, what are you waiting for? There's no greater day. John 14, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled because you believe in God. Believe also in me. If you don't know Jesus, then let your heart be troubled because he is the way. He is the answer. So, Father, this morning I pray for all of those situations. In those 3 categories, I may have covered everybody in this room. But, Father, you know the hearts and you know what each household is going through. And I just pray that your name would come through in a strong way, that your power would show itself and be evident in everything that's happening through these situations. And right now, Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity that we could have to come here. I pray for Pastor Rudy and his team and for this congregation. We pray for this community. We pray that there would be safety in the harvest and that there would be, more than ever, we would learn to lean on you and focus on what you want to do in our lives. And we thank you for your presence here today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Eric.
I want to thank Terry and the guys for sharing with us this morning. I think we've all been encouraged and challenged, and what's in your hand? Let's not bury it, but let's use it. Let's bow for the benediction. Now who Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.